got that cricket, Joel?
Yeah, I killed it.
Cricket business is done. You're all done with your giant flying cockroaches, oh, yeah. Vile. Everything's good. Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, now
hello, and oh my god. Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT. I'm here with Vile and JoltKing627. Say what's up, my friend.
How's it going?
What's up?
It is the 24th of August. We will be having episode 17 come out tomorrow, and then this will be releasing on the 26th. As always, just noting that because we'll actually be talking about at least one thing that may happen the day this podcast is coming out, which obviously we can't talk about because it hasn't happened yet. As always, of course, this podcast is the partner to episode 17 of the Provisional Nerf News Network show itself. We'll be assuming that you've seen the show and know some of the things in the show. So it might be best to watch the show first, but you can probably make your way through the podcast without it if you have to. And as always, well, what's up, y'all? Actually, forget y'all. I'm excited
wow.
today because... I officially this week became a Pokemon TCG judge and judged my first event today. Just a little league tournament, nothing huge, but that's been something I've been working on for a while, and that's part of why my voice is my voice is generally worn out because I'm usually coming from Pokemon, which involves a lot of talking, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm feeling really good about that. It was a big win in a month that's been kind of tough, honestly. It's been kind of a tough month. How are y'all doing?
Good. I'm just dropping stuff
alive.
In the background. But yeah, I've been busy getting through the collection, actually. I'm organizing stuff. I'm realizing I have way too many duplicates of things. And
what are you up to now? 35 Chronoses?
Yeah, something like that, and you know, I keep saying, okay, wow, okay, I think that's all of them, and then I go into another bin, and there's two or three more at the bottom of another bin, and I'm like,
of course there is,
yeah,
but yeah, but I really need to trim the collection back too, and I'm hoping to lean into that soon. I want to make room in my garage to have a piano, just like an old upright piano, and some other stuff I just don't have the space for because I have so much Nerf.
Yeah. That's kind of what it's been going on for me.
Yeah. And Jolt's been working a lot.
Yes. I have a job. I do that.
What the heck? What's with that? Well, anyway.
I like money.
So we often... capitalism strikes again. So as always, we start the show by going over stories that did not make the cut for the show for one reason or another. One submission that did not make it was, that X-Shot Insanity Blasters are appearing in Canada. And part of the reason this didn't make the show, we usually try to group all the, like, this is available here, and this is available here, and this is available here. We try to, like, group it all into one story, because it's not really, like, doesn't really stand on its own as a story. And there weren't any other stories like this. But also, like, I don't know, I can't keep track. Maybe they were in Canada already. Maybe, like, I just can't even keep track anymore.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a non-story if there isn't like a bunch of them to cover. It can definitely help people know like when to, like, if you're looking for something specific, like when to start scouring the Targets and the Walmarts and the Toys R Us's for a specific thing you're looking for. But yeah, I don't know. This just got skipped. We also kind of at the last second. Had and I meant to have this up. There was a post from someone on a Facebook group that was shared with us. That was a potential leak of a new blaster coming out from Worker. Somebody going by Knobs with a zero instead of an O said the new blaster Worker Seagull will be released in 5 days, as well as new 15-round mag. Four color options: purple, green, dreamlike pink, exact words, and macaroon, or is it like Macron?
I think
like,
that's no, a red.
I think it's macaroon. I think it's
macaroon. Is it supposed to be like maroon?
I don't know.
Because macaroon is like the two like O's. The French dessert.
It usually has two O's in it for macaroon, doesn't it?
That's true. I've seen it with one though.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not sure.
Other features include compact size, slam fire, 150 FPS out of the box. So it's a 150 FPS primary class Springer.
It sounds to me like Worker's response to the unicorn, which, cool, I already have a unicorn, don't need it. I haven't even seen it, and I can already tell you I don't need it.
Well, and the thing beyond that with this, we got some additional confirmation from what appears to be a pretty reliable source, that there's supposed to be a release announcement on the 26th of August, which, if you're listening to this podcast on release day, is today. And that's it. That's all there is. And we were just kind of like, there's really no story here. It makes more sense for us to wait until next episode and be like, hey, Worker released this thing, and actually have details and have some follow up and like maybe it's available for order somewhere. So,
hey, yeah. I know some people who are going to love that it's coming in pink. That's what I can say.
Yeah, totally. And I'm like, there's some cool things that sound about this. That is a really, really saturated market right now. We joke about that all the time, right? Like, primary class 150 FPS Springers are everywhere. So, like, it'll be interesting to see what Worker brings to the table in this particular one. But
I think these days that it's got to be something really different, really out of the box, amazing, blow you away to even get attention these days just because of how saturated the market is.
Totally. I feel like the long shot cut through a little bit, partly just because it was price. A bullpup, which is just like a little bit different, and the price. It was so cheap compared to what it offers for the price. Kind of blows everything else out of the water.
The Trion was high quality for a low price. And the unicorn was itty bitty tiny compact, extremely durable.
Well, you've got a couple of things there though. Like the Trion is basically, you know, a modded kind of Nexus. At you know, essentially, it took all the flaws of the Nexus and kind of built on them. And it was a little bit more expensive to suit, but still, it was a better build. And then even the long shot has a unique mechanism that it, you know, the barrel's going through the plunger tube, which is something that we haven't seen through, you know, obviously we had the community one, the Taurus, but we didn't have one really available for anything. So it kind of, again, it's unique. And again, if it's not unique or doesn't offer something different that we don't see, it just adds to the kind of mass. Really, that we see already.
For sure. For sure. I mean, you know, it'll be the exact right variety of this type of blaster for somebody, for some group of people.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people who specifically like Worker, too.
Yeah, even the color options could potentially just be that. That's the selling point for someone, you know.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, it's like, what was it? Pink, green, purple? Like great colors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool colors.
Yeah.
Worker always has nice colors. I like their color choices a lot.
Except for their gray. I don't know why they felt the need to make it gray.
Their gray isn't super exciting.
They're appealing to their international market that, you know, wants that. Yeah. So,
I mean, that's also a really good base for painting.
True. Very
true.
Start with the gray. And the last thing on here, which didn't actually have one of our normal sort of Discord post entries, but which I had posited as interesting, is the Hampton Roads Blaster Club. So this is a Nerf club. It's been around for quite a while. They used to be called the Hampton Roads Nerf Club, and apparently when they started it, they actually made two versions of the logo, expecting that they may wind up changing the name down the road. And I thought this was interesting. And it'll tie into something we're going to talk about later when we get to discussing the Blaster Tag trademark. There's always been concerns about like having Nerf in the name of a project or having Nerf in the name of your club, or any brand name really. But like obviously Nerf is sort of the Kleenex of our hobby, where people just use that word to mean the thing. But watching, you know, this is sort of part of a movement of clubs moving away from having those words in the name. And I thought it was noteworthy to see, to sort of watch clubs start to make this move and change their names to match that. But we'll kind of come back to that when we talk about, like I said, the Blaster Tag trademark down the road a little bit. That was pretty much it. The only things that didn't make the show, and I feel like we can go ahead and dive on in to talk about sort of the probably one of the big things being talked about lately, which is the DartZone Max Omnia Pro and performance issues that cropped up in early review work, and a pretty quick response by DartZone.
Yeah, this seems they learned from the Deuce Pro, I think. They learned wait 6 months is not the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just short of a recall, you know? Like
it reminds me of the Recon Mark II from Nerf, where the original run of them was unable to take certain magazines and they went and changed the mold and offered replacements to people who had the original version.
Right.
Which makes me wonder if that's why they're so cheap inside, because the Recon Mark II has, like, plastic pins and things like that. I wonder if it was rushed and they needed to get it out quickly, and that's why they had to skimp on some things.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, I'm thinking a lot, too, about the Thundershot and kind of wondering how this happened to the Omnia in the first place. You know, it seems like the issue with the Thundershot, as well as the, what was that for the chain with the blaster with the Tetra shot. Thank you. where it was the result of cost cutting and or miscommunication between the designing company and the factories manufacturing the actual blasters. That happened to Busby a few times in the last couple years. And I wonder if this is a similar situation where they, you know, maybe had pretty detailed specs for how the Omnia was supposed to be set up out the gate and those weren't met. You know what I haven't done too is gone back to the videos where they were initially showing off the Omnia and like trying to figure out, someone must have done this, right? Like you go back and you look at the early videos where they were showing off the Omnia and trying to figure out like, was it doing these things then? Or were they using like an early one that was a setup really carefully and the main ones are the ones that are actually being shipped maybe were built by a factory overseas that is not paying that level of attention to it. Does anybody remember?
It'd be worth checking. I'd have to look into it.
I think that even if it was having issues, they wouldn't tell you in the video, because that's the kind of thing you can hide. Like shooting to the right,
yeah.
Just aim a little sideways. Weird trigger delay, you're not going to notice that on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, pre-production
I forgot about this. Drac reviewed it a month ago.
Oh, wait, you're right.
And Nerf did one 2 weeks ago. Yeah, there are reviews from before. And then, of course, there's the video from DartZone around the same time as Drac's review.
With Drac's review, I would say you can kind of write that off as his reviews aren't really comprehensive reviews. They're first impressions.
They are first impressions, but you still can see him fire it.
True, but he also fired his warden, and his warden didn't break because he didn't fire it enough times to break it.
I guess what I'm saying in this situation, it's just I think it's something I might want to go back and look at, because I feel like what the things that we're describing for the Omnia are severe enough that like I feel like it would be noticed in even the most cursory review.
I do remember not enough nerf actually giving some information because people were complaining about the trigger delay. And I remember, I think he did like a reel or something like that, like a quick little video. I think it was on his Instagram. Mm. I don't remember, but he was showing on his that he didn't have the trigger delay on his. And he was like, I think it was something like that. He was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about because my unit doesn't have that problem.
Interesting.
And I'm pretty sure, obviously, you know, if he's in the comment section or if he's listening in, he'll correct me, obviously. But I think the problem with it as well is pre-production models and sometimes influencer models that are sent out might be on the same thing, though. And there is sometimes a slight difference between how they're built or even the company that is building them, the pre-production models, because those pre-production models are almost like samples. They're like, this is what you should be getting. But then what they do get is, you know, maybe there was a change between then and when they actually started receiving them. And there might be something off. Because who was it? I don't remember who it was. Somebody was it Walcom or somebody else on a thing saying that it was like veering to the right or the ammo was like really getting off centered, like terrible. Obviously, not just the trigger delay, but even just how the flywheels were aligned or something was causing problems.
Yeah.
And that sounds like an assembly issue. And that could be, you know, again, pre-production models don't normally go through the full setup that they have at the factory. They kind of like you were saying, they do get a little bit of extra detail and attention, you know, when they're getting assembled. And maybe that production run just really cause problems with it. I don't know. I guess we'll find out, obviously, as more unfolds.
All I know is that this is a spot where when people were complaining about the Strife X price point and we're talking about how the Omnia was so great for so little price, I'm just going to say this price. Right now, hot take, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. I mean, we put that out there when we talked about it on the podcast. I was pretty clear. I was like, I mean, like, yes, in theory, we can say this right now that the, you know, the Omnia does all the things that the... But we don't know until it gets in people's hands. And yep. So far, it's still a question mark because now it's not really in people's hands. Like Dart Zone is saying, like, hold on, we sent this thing out. It's not actually what it's supposed to be. Just don't talk about it. Pretend it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. We're going to try again, and then we'll do it again. And then the next time, it'll be right. And we did our story, and we did it as a big meme about this, right? And so one of the things that we didn't say is, like, in the situation where the product that you sent out is not what you intended to send out, kudos to Dart Zone. They've handled it, I think, about as well as you can. You know, the request to not, to, like give them time to fix it. The system for, I mean, we'll see how well the system actually works, but the system for making sure that people who have already purchased them presumably get free replacements. You know, I feel like they're doing a good job given the unfortunate situation. It would be nice for this situation to have not happened in the first place, but also it seems likely that it has to do with the relationship with the manufacturer, and that's challenging to work with the factory with factories that have their own things going on and often do this cost-cutting thing that caused some of the problems that Busby had previously. But it was different with Busby because we're talking about a like less than $10 blaster or like a $20 blaster.
And here we're talking about pretty
a pro-focused kind of thing.
Yeah.
At a much higher price point. But we'll see how well this recall situation goes.
This, you know,
how soon we actually see the Omni out there.
On that, I would just say that sometimes with certain products, and I've seen this in other things, other industries, sometimes the race to the bottom for price starts to come at a cost. And while we're trying to see, you know, we're trying to get high performance flywheelers, and there's honestly not that many that are name brand, I would say, you know, Worker can be kind of included in that, but they've been around and doing sort of higher performance stuff for a lot longer than, say, you know, Nerf and Dart Zone and stuff for their flywheelers. But when you really take into account that race to the bottom for price point to try to really get people bought into it will always come at a cost. We saw this with 3D printers as well. You know, everybody was like, you know, back in the day, it used to be $1,000 just as an entry point to get a printer. And then there was this huge rush to get the price point as low as possible. Now we can get printers at $180.
Right.
But it sometimes comes at the cost of your time, your tuning, your, you know, you have to buy extra parts. You've got to do this. You have to do so much more to actually get this $200 printer to even function like a $450 printer. And, you know, we might be starting to see that even with blasters, like, you know, because it's coming from these companies that are, you know, they're trying to get into the hobby space, which does yeah. deal a lot with markets and companies like Worker, who have been, again, around for quite a while and who kind of have a pretty good stronghold on that stuff.
Even then, including Worker, there have only been, what, 6 pre-assembled flywheelers. There was the Phoenix 2.0, the Nightingale, the ProMark 3. Now the Omnia and Strife X. That's 7. Or is it? My brain is dead today.
I think, but no, you're making a good point. It's still not, the pool is very small for flywheelers. Springers are much easier. That's why we have just droves of them. But the flywheel market is fresh for companies to really kind of push into that. And, you know, even if you really want to technically get into it, X-Shot's kind of put their foot in the ring with an Insanity Blaster. It's not a pro level, but they've already started showing that they're looking at the pro line. So who knows, maybe later down the future, maybe in a year or two, they decide to try out the pro level flywheelers. And again, X-Shot's also known for kind of having a pretty good stronghold around the world and having a pretty good stronghold on very, you know, low cost blasters. Maybe they'll start to try to push the bar down even further.
Well, it's funny you'd mention that, because the next topic that I want to talk about too is the X-Shot Long Shot, as it's been appearing in Germany and Switzerland and possibly other European countries. We're still kind of waiting to see how this shakes out. But speaking of a blaster that, you know, requires that extra attention in order to do what it does, we've all been talking about the Long Shot. The X-Shot Long Shot is this solid pro level, very inexpensive blaster.
Solid in everything but its plunger tube and its pusher.
Except for the plunger tube. Fair. Yes. True. But for these ones to show up now, okay. So here's the thing that interested me a lot about these lower power long shots that showed up is they still have the packaging is unchanged other than the lower FPS number. They still say pro on them. So at what point is it not a pro blaster if you're not putting the power level necessary to compete in that kind of game in the blaster?
I would argue short darts.
Yeah, I was going to say probably
that's
the same.
That's true. It is. And one of the things I do like about the X-Shot is I think they've done the best job of a blaster that is hybrid, full length and short dart. The prime on it feels like the same, pretty much one or the other.
Yeah, the only other blaster that really did that to chamber both, I think, is the 1.2.
I haven't played with the 1.2.
Yeah, that's the one thing it did right, is it switched to a moving plunger tube, so it eliminated the telescoping piece in the priming mechanism. So no slop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about... I know, Vile, you did some research on the legal situation that may have caused this situation.
So
but
I
it's
looked
still
into this.
Kind of like...
I did look into it a little bit. It was kind of hard because when I was trying to find it, the websites I was pulling up, it was either like a Google, you know, answer, or it was like Reddit posts or things like that. It wasn't really like a reputable source that I could just quote, like, oh, this comes from, you know, a German government site that gives this exact thing. But everything I kept finding was pointing at the Juul requirements in primarily things like airsoft. So they, that was the one big one that kept pulling up, was airsoft requirements.
For anybody that's not familiar, joule as in J-O-U-L-E, which is a measurement of energy. And so it's measuring effectively how hard it hits and how much energy is transmitted when the dart hits.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just in the projectile in general. And under their laws, and this, again, primarily is for airsoft, it didn't necessarily encompass Nerf, but I would imagine, I'd have to go back and look at it. I think it had something to do just with projectiles in general. They had to be less than 0.5 joules. If they were over 0.5 joules, they would have to be classified as an air rifle. And which, if, and I did the, I went to a calculator and I actually calculated it out, and I went and had some screenshots of it. But when you look at the 140 FPS, the calculation came out to, oh, I don't even remember what it was now. It was something like one. Oh, crud. I wish I had that screenshot right now. It was somewhere, but it was it at the lower spring at the 66 FPS, it was something like 0.1. Oh, I found it. It was 0.19 joules. It was just under 0.2 joules. And at the 140 FPS, and this was assuming that it was a 0.95 gram dart. Like, that's just kind of an average. If you put a heavier dart or you put the 0.9 at the lighter. So I just kind of took the middle. If you put it at 140, it turns into a 0.86 joules of kinetic energy. So that puts it technically into an air rifle category. I was also finding a lot of articles about, apparently the rest of EU was trying to get Germany to, change their toy laws, Germany telling them no, because under their current ones, it is safer for their toys than the rest of the EU. So it was kind of like a rabbit hole of a lot of information and a lot of data, but based on even on the airsoft and the paintball markers and things like that, they cannot exceed 0.5 joules just for that weapons law in Germany. I'm surprised to see, I'm not sure if, you know, Switzerland and other countries have a similar one, but at least under German weapons law, that's what I was finding.
The good news is the only difference in these X shot long shots appears to be the spring load.
Yeah.
So just swap your spring and boom, you've probably got a felony in Germany. I don't know. Yeah.
this ties back to what we were saying before, where it's like, you know, they've done all of this stuff so that they can sell it here. And now anybody that's going to use it has to do all this extra work, has to be comfortable opening it up, has to access a spring, mm-hmm. get the correct kind of spring and install it correctly. Keep the seal intact and like all this stuff.
Yeah. And even then, if you're, since you mentioned the plunger tube, Jolt, if they were going to be doing it anyways, they're probably going to be swapping out the plunger tube, swapping the spring. They're going to get into it and just probably do the whole, you know, kit and caboodle kind of thing on it. But it's still, and we've seen other people in the hobby who are in places like Germany and stuff who have higher performing blasters. It's not uncommon. It's just that, and usually under these laws, it's more of, to be able to sell it on store shelves, you have to abide by these rules. Once you get it home, it's now, you know, it's kind of now under your own like thing that you're going to do. It's kind of like us in the hobby where, you know, we can't exceed certain FPS for public parks because we don't want to cause harm to anybody. We're kind of taking that on ourselves. But, you know, in these countries, a lot of the individuals are at least from the people that we know personally, we've seen them doing indoor events or personal events, or they have like LARPing events, and they will build and do their own, and they're doing it in private venues. They're not really doing them in public either, because I'm pretty sure, and that was another thing, again, going down a rabbit hole, if I through some of my stuff, I might have caught this, and I might be misremembering it, but it was, I'm pretty sure that they cannot be used or shown in public places anyway. So they are kind of like, this is a toy that you play with, you know, at your own private property kind of a thing. Like, you don't take it out to public places. So there's already kind of that level of, you know, restriction on it anyways. So, but yeah, it just kind of boils into, it's interesting to see them only change the box and claim their FPS claim, but it's still the same blaster with a weak spring. Yeah. It is nice. I can't fault them. They're just trying to stick within the rules and the laws.
They already got called on this once, supposedly. Yeah. I think they got sued for some of their rival products.
I think it's weird because it feels weirdly deceptive because the hobby does so much communicating for these brands.
Yeah.
And the long shot everywhere is, look at this blaster that hits 150 out of the box and only costs X amount of dollars. And you go and you buy it, and you have to be looking pretty carefully to catch that the number has changed.
I honestly would put it in the same category as Gray Trigger blasters. It's the same thing Hasbro's been doing for years.
It's a very similar idea. Very similar idea. Except I think it's a little bit different, right? Because Gray Trigger blasters, the target audience is parents picking up toys for kids. We find it interesting because we find the differences interesting, and but realistically, if every kid in Australia or whatever has the blaster that shoots at a lower FPS, it doesn't really matter, right? Because they're all playing at the same level. But it is different. It is, you know, a different blaster for a different market. This is like you have a blaster that is specifically being marketed towards people who want a specific performance level. And this particular version of it doesn't have the same performance level, but it's being advertised the same way as the version that does.
Yeah.
So it is kind of an awkward situation. Hopefully it will at least be good for the aftermarket folks in Europe.
Yeah,
I think it would be funny. I kind of almost want the low power one just to see how the consistency is at such a low spring load.
Because I mean, think that would be that sick.
That would be fun. A pro level blaster that you could play with your 10-year-old with.
I would love to have an X shot long shot that I can shoot in the house. Like, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I've tried the end caps and the weaker springs and stuff for the Nexus or whatever, and it never felt good to shoot. Like, it worked. It was lower, but like, it wasn't fun to shoot or comfortable. And it just kind of felt floppy. And, you know, if they're actually releasing an off the shelf product that shoots like that and it's consistent and works well, yeah, that's cool. That could be kind of neat. But, you know, if it would be neat if they were selling the non pro X shot long shot. That's just the same frame and blaster intended to shoot at a lower level. But
also, one other thing to consider is with the lower spring load, the plunger tube might not crack as easily.
It's true, actually. That is very true.
That is true. Okay. Let's move on to our game. We're all really tired. It's really obvious right now. So we may as well just keep plowing through this. It is time to play What's That Blaster, and it's my week to pick a blaster for me to read the official nerf description to the rest of the crew and give them an opportunity to guess what the blaster is. If they can guess the blaster immediately, they get 4 points each. If they can't, they can use some lifelines. They can ask the original capacity of the blaster, the year of release of the blaster, and the other one, the original retail price. And for each one of those that they use, they lose one potential point. Currently the score, I'm at 22, Vile's at 20, Jolt is at 30, Grimms is at 25, and Not Enough Nerf is at 3. But that's not really a fair comparison. Yeah. Is everybody ready? I have my blaster picked out.
Let's do it.
Sure.
Okay. The name of blaster, features double barrel blasting. This pump action blaster fires two darts in a row and gets you playing fast. Load one dart into each barrel, pump the handle to prime, and press the trigger to fire one dart. Prime the blaster and pull the trigger again to fire the second dart. Includes 12 official ammo, for multiple reloads. Official Nerf ammo are tested and approved for performance and quality and constructed of foam with flexible hollow tips. No batteries required.
Can you say it again?
Yep. I'm afraid that if I keep repeating it, though, I'm going to like accidentally say stuff I'm not supposed to say. Okay. The blaster name, Blaster, features double barrel blasting. This pump action blaster fires two darts in a row and gets you playing fast. Load one dart into each barrel, pump the handle to prime, and press the trigger to fire one dart. Prime the blaster and pull the trigger again to fire the second dart. Includes capacity, official ammo for multiple reloads. I already told you that. I told you the number the first time. Oh, well. Official Nerf ammo are tested and approved for performance. It's actually, I'm sorry, shoot. It's not capacity. It's just the included number. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. Yeah. Free info, I guess.
Well, we already know that it's the capacity.
You already
is
know
two.
The capacity. Yeah. There's really no way for me to remove that. So, official Nerf darts are tested and approved for performance and quality and constructed of foam with flexible hollow tips. No batteries required.
I have two guesses, and I would say let's just ask for the release here, because this could either be, in my mind, this is either the Mega Double Breach, or this is the one of those Alpha Strike things. You know the one.
Yep, I was just looking at it.
That's always missing the pump. At
yep.
Goodwill.
And it had the cheese grater grip, and then they later put the cover over it.
What's that stupid thing called? The Tiger DB2 or something?
Yeah. I remember Tiger was in the name. I was literally just looking at it earlier when I was cleaning up.
I think the reskin version is called like the Big Cat or something.
Yeah. The problem with it, I don't think it would be the Double Breach, because they only had storage for four darts on the side of it.
Four darts, but think of it. It might have been a double your darts. Because think about it, 12 is double of six.
True. But on Megas, they normally wouldn't give you that much extra ammo. At least not that I remember. I don't ever remember any Megas really.
That's why I say release year would be the thing that we should ask for.
I still think release year. We'll do release year. Let's go.
2019.
Okay, so it's the Alpha Strike Tiger,
yep.
I believe.
Alpha Strike Tiger.
The pump action 2-dart 1. That thing.
it's the Tiger something. Oh,
something
God.
DB2.
Yeah. That's what we're going with. Because even I'm going to say that I'm with Jolt on this one. I literally was just looking at this thing.
Screw you guys, I'm going home. Yes, it's the Tiger. Cannot fool you guys at all. Alright. Well, that puts Vile at 23 and Jolt at 33. I'm now lagging behind pretty badly.
And technically Grimm's at 28.
It is in fact, oh yes, and Grimm's at 28, thank you. And it is the Tiger DB2. What is the reskin of that thing called?
I'm pretty sure it was called Big Cat.
Yeah, Big Cat DB2. It's just the same thing.
The most amazing Nerf name ever. Like, I'm just saying, that's the funniest name they've ever had.
It is pretty funny.
Big Cat!
Oh, I forgot that the re-release of the Stinger in blue is called the Slinger.
You gotta be kidding me! Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh,
that's so weird. Okay. Anyway. All right. Well, that was quick. I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know what to do to like pick you guys anymore. After you got the Iron Man one, I was just kind of like, all right, this is over. I don't know what to do.
It's a
here.
Jolt. What did you expect? You picked a freaking Jolt.
I picked a Jolt, but it shoots an action figure. Like,
But you picked a Jolt.
Oh my God. All right. Anyway. Probably the big topic for today is this attempt
actually,
to trademark.
KT, can we pause here for and take a break?
Oh, man,
I need to use the restroom.
Yeah, sure, fine.
You gotta, here's how you do it, KT. This is this whole game has turned into for me has been, what can I do of features of a blaster that will throw you off the scent? and I will try to read them and be like, oh, that'll make them think of this one.
Yeah, see, I was hoping that, what was I hoping? Yeah, no, I've had that thought. There's actually a whole thing I skipped that there's like an Alpha Strike text that goes before it.
Mm-hmm.
Start blasting with Alpha Strike blasters from Nerf, the number one blaster brand. If you're new to the Nerf brand, Alpha Strike blasters are an awesome way to get into adrenaline pumping Nerf battles and experience the power and performance of the Nerf brand.
What kind of got me was when you said how many darts it came with, because
yeah,
to me, I instantly knew. I was like, I know that it's not going to be anything else, because that series, that was their big selling point. Cheap blasters.
Alpha Strike actually came with
lots of ammo. Yeah, the first thing they started doing was throwing a ton of ammo to try to up your reason to buy it. And I remember
which
that.
Is funny, because they finally passed that over to some of the good Elite 2.0 blasters.
Yeah, true. And actually, they did have that one, didn't they? Didn't they do that in the Elite 2.0 that had the double barrel, just like the Alpha Strike line?
Yeah. There's
it was in the pack, though.
It's the Technician.
Oh, is that what it was called?
Easily one of my least favorite. It's in one of those multi-packs. Yeah, it's easily one of my least favorite blasters of the last ever.
Just terrible.
It's so bad. Oh. It's so bad. I ran it in an awfuls round once with like a big belt full of darts. I think I posted a short of me trying to fill up the belt. It took like 15 minutes.
Stupid. Just need a dump pouch.
Yeah, yeah, but I thought the belt was funnier.
That is true. Why don't you just have the wristbands that have the dart holder just make it even worse?
Yeah. That would be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. I wish those X-Shot dart holder things worked on Nerf rails.
Oh,
the ones that look like the PDK films.
Yeah, are they pick rail? I recently picked up the Ragefire, and I have some, but
I have not. I have a Ragefire. I have not even opened it. I want to do an open and react review, and then do some like testing with it after. I just haven't made the time.
I haven't fired it, like I haven't put batteries in it to check it out, but so far it's actually a really fun blaster. And I don't remember who it was, but the guy who put it on, like, he originally had one on his forearm, like arm mounted, and then he put three, and I was like, okay, that's ridiculously cool. And I really the first funny. Thing I did with it before I even saw his post was I put it on my arm, and I'm like, this needs to be arm mounted, like wrist mounted. It's so stupid. The moment you get it, you're going to be like, oh, I totally see it. Like,
yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a fun blaster. They're going to be one of those things where you're never going to find the chains. They're never going to come with the attachments.
Oh,
they're going to be
course.
Missing
yeah,
everything.
They're
going to
show up in thrift stores with none of the tripods will disappear.
Yep.
The chains will disappear. All the attachments that hold the darts are going to be gone.
The Absolutely. Tripod's even worse, because it has a locking pin, and it rotates and like locks in. That locking pin's going to get lost, and then the tripod's just going to be useless.
Oh, that sucks.
So yeah, that's the one thing I'm like, I know that's, I mean, I don't care if I see them in thrift stores, I am definitely going to pick them up, because they're like cool shells and they're cool like blasters. I think it's a good option. And I think there's a lot of fun potential of what you could build out of it, but it is definitely going to be missing everything.
Yeah, for sure. There'll definitely be good stuff to do with them.
Oh, I'm holding on to the dart storage. I didn't know that.
What?
The pick rail thing. Like, you know, it's sort of like a pick rail is what it looks like. It just press fits into it. You can take it out.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't know that. I was like, wait a minute. That just looks like it's, yeah, you can absolutely just push that out. It's just a post. That means that you can 3D print your own with an InStrike adapter. Oh my God. We're going to be doing some 3D modeling this weekend. And I think we're going to do an InStrike rail adapter for this, for people to carry them on their blasters.
That's funny. That'll be fun.
I think that's what we can do.
That'd be really cool.
You need to get your printer back up and running because I've got stuff for you now.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have the space again soon when my friends move out, but I think it's going to be really great.
All this talk of Android Rails, real legends use DuckTank.
True.
Amazing.
Got to have that ultimate gun versus gun thumbnail.
I know, right?
I don't know how to transition back into this.
Just start how you were starting before.
Yeah, I guess so. So, I explained this, I think, pretty clearly in the episode, but a company which is either it's clearly associated with Dart Zone and Primetime Toys, which is the parent company to Dart Zone, that has frequently, very frequently, trademarked and patented things that are Dart Zone products in the name of Dart Zone and Primetime, is filed last year to try to trademark the term blaster tag for use both with toy products as well as for event hosting, and for, it specifically calls out making news presentations on the internet related to blaster tag events. And there's some weird history behind this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to take this. Like, I've heard some people say that it, like theoretically, they're trying to protect it for the community to use it.
I'm going to say right now, that's bullshit right there. I'm sorry.
I don't trust that.
And so part of the point that I was trying to make, and it's a very compacted point in the show because I was trying to keep the segment short, and I still feel like I kind of rambled in the last part of it. Even if the current leadership of Primetime and Dart Zone is gung-ho about, like, hey, we're just going to spend all this money to copyright this term as a community good for our customers. We're going to protect it, and we're going to own it, and we're just not going to pursue any uses of it. What happens when the leadership changes at the company? And the new person's like, oh, wait, we own this trademark, and we're not defending it? Nah, nah, nah. Sue all these people. What happens when one person does use blaster tag in a way that they don't like? Mm-hmm. Or that doesn't align with their vision of what the community is doing. What, like, there's so many possibilities. Or what happens when they finally decide to use that name on an actual product and someone else in the hobby already makes a product, like a 3D printed blaster or a product that serves a similar purpose? Now, what happens if an automated internet trademark bot finds them and sends them a cease and desist?
Well, it's not even that. They could even take full-on revenue. So under YouTube's guidelines, like, just, I'll just take YouTube as an example. If they, like, say, you know, all these other YouTubers and other people who are in the hobby doing similar stuff to us, who are trying to report on news and trying to report on this, if the bot picks up that you said or are talking about blaster tag, they can now claim that you are directly violating their copyright, and all of your AdSense or revenue that you could potentially have been making on it is now theirs, and they will take that from you. That is how deep this could potentially get. And a lot of people will be like, well, you know, they wouldn't do that. No, the problem is that you want to assume that people have good intentions, but a bot doesn't care. The bot doesn't give a crap, and a bot could potentially do it. And in some cases, there's a broken system. YouTube's copyright claims can actually be claimed by somebody who doesn't actually own the copyright, because it is it's unfortunately a very broken system. There's a lot of people who talk about it. You know, we're not here to get into it that deeply, but that is how bad that is. If it is something that is copywritten, people will sometimes abuse the system. They will say, I own the copyright and I need all of the revenue that was made on this through, you know, for however long. And they can strike a channel down to the point that it gets completely banned, like disbanded. They will because, you know, obviously under certain rules, if you get three strikes, your channel's basically gone and right. you cannot make this. So people who are even doing this, who may not get much anything out of it as it is, like, say, Beret or something like that, or Captain Xavier or even Drac, you start looking at larger people who've been around for forever, and videos that are 7 or 8 years old that or that they might have been talking about Blaster Tag. The
right.
These things, if you copyright that, they can go back to videos that were made prior to the copyright and even strike it. It's not because it's necessarily right or legally they can do it. It's that there is so much red tape that all they have to do yeah. is make the claim. The bot just says, okay. YouTube tries to tell you there's always somebody, you know, an actual person behind there. And again, we've seen this time and time again that there's not. And now those people, their channels get destroyed. Their any revenue that they were making on it gets completely taken from them. You know, some people who do this potentially for a living or at least for some side income, that is huge. You have to understand the implications of
also
what
something
a copyright...
to remember is that when your account gets banned, any other channel based on that like Gmail account or something, those also get
yes.
banned.
They all get linked to that, and you have to understand how important that is. It's very, very important. And it's in, you brought it up even in your thing of, you know, Blaster Tag Association. They yeah. can potentially...
They're kind of the obvious example. Their yeah, entire they, name yeah. is tied to that.
Yeah, and I mean, even places that are, you know, non-profit organizations and stuff like that could be hit. And that's... that.
Even so... To me, yeah. what this looks like, this is if the NFL decided to trademark football. Like, no, right. you don't get to do that. I'm sorry. No. That's yeah. crap right
well,
there.
Well, and, you know, there's, you know, I also talked about how Jangular attempted to take this trademark for that purpose to, like, set it aside in 2018 and was told it's too general and you can't trademark that. So... I mean, fingers crossed, I guess, but, you know, I looked up Jangular's attempt to do it, and see if I can find it again. It seemed like it didn't, where is it here? 2018-04-28, new application entered, office supply data... assigned to examiner 4 months later, non-final action written the next day and notified, and after that they didn't respond anymore. So this whole process of applying, so like I guess what I'm trying to say is I want to believe that this one will be rejected for the same reason. However, we are not now talking about a hobbyist with few resources attempting to copyright the title. We are talking about a very large company with a lot of money and lawyers trying to copyright the name. And what I believe here, at least, to be Jangular's attempt to copyright it, lasted for 4 months and then was essentially rejected. This one is over a year into the process.
They've gotten and further.
It yeah. seems like they've gotten over the hump that stopped Jangular. Now, I am not claiming to be an expert in trademark law. I'm just making guesses based on the information in front of me. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like. And now we're sort of left with this $600 opportunity to
yeah
to say, hey, this seems bad. You know, fingers crossed, maybe like Out of Darts or one of the hobby companies or something will have, you know, the funds and the resources to put up some kind of resistance to this. Or, you know, it would be great if Dart Zone or Primetime or what are they called? Hazebon Limited.
Is it Esbon?
Hazebon
or
Easebon,
that's what it was. Yeah,
Easebon Services Limited. We'll just communicate at least. Like, that would be a nice first step. Just like, hey, like, we know that there's some concern about this. Here is our plan. So at least there was some communication. In the absence of communication, it feels like it's in bad faith. So,
yeah.
And
I gotta be honest here, like, hot take. Whoever is responsible for this should be ashamed of themselves.
Just, I mean, like, this is really normal business stuff. I hate it, but it's really normal business stuff. Like, someone
just
thinks that
it's
they're
normal
doing
doesn't
mean
they shouldn't be ashamed of themselves.
No, I agree. But whoever's doing this thinks that they're doing just like the thing they're supposed to do for their company. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I say this. I actually found the name of the lawyer who's involved in this, and I suspect that it's actually because, like, on the request, the law office is listed, and please do not email this lawyer listeners and start harassing them.
Yeah, don't go out there and do that. But
it seems like what I'm trying to get at is that it seems like this person specializes in helping brands like protect their whatever. And I have a feeling that this lawyer's office identified blaster tag as a term they should try to own. And that's why they're doing it more than anything. And it may actually just be that law office pushing it, but
My question is, where is Hasbro in all of this? Because blaster tag would technically be something they'd probably want to use, too.
That's true.
Where are the Hasbro lawyers in this? Come on, Hasbro, for once, use your lawyers for something good.
I mean, maybe there's something going on there. Maybe they're preparing a response. Maybe they put something in. I have no idea. I don't think that if there was a request already put in to delay it, which is another thing that you can do, is request a delay to have longer to put a response together. Maybe that already exists. I don't think we would publicly be able to see that. But it would, yeah. I don't know. Where it's not quite like the CPSC thing where it was easy for people to go in and just drop a comment.
Yeah, $600 filing
fee. It's a $600 fee to file. Like, it's obviously intended for companies to do it,
yeah,
not for individuals to do it. But individuals, of course, are the ones who are going to pay the price here, because the whole point of this term is that it's widely used by a hobby of loosely or disorganized people.
Yeah.
So
nonprofit organizations as well. That's my other frustration with it. You're trying to tell a nonprofit to throw down $600, to try to defend its ability and its right to stay a nonprofit and use the name that it's had for, going on a decade or more in some cases. Like, it's crazy to me, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, if this all goes through, the robots are going to try to come and take all of our fun.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. There won't be much that we can do about it. So hopefully some kind of resistance is mounted to this. I don't know that there's much that we can do on an individual level, unfortunately,
yeah,
to respond. Maybe someone who has more knowledge about it will have an answer, will have a suggestion, but it's not me. On that super upbeat note there, the thing about this, it's not like end of our hobby kind of stuff. I think about all the content creators, including us currently, who have Nerf in the name that Nerf does not come for.
Yeah.
Mentioning earlier the Hampton Roads Blaster Club, changing their name from the Hampton Roads Nerf Club, just because they wanted to be able to distance themselves from that. But, like, all the people, that's the thing. I guess, actually, that's the thing that's really frustrating to me, is there's been such a move to, like, try to get, Dart Zone is very picky about people not using the word Nerf to describe the sport. And so we've all moved to terms like blasters, blaster tag, all these other things. And now they're trying to trademark one of those terms so that we can't use it.
Yeah. It's
like, well, what do you want us to call it, man? Like, at what point?
Yeah.
You know, just like, give us, leave us alone. Anyway, frustrating. Let's end on something fun. So, you know, we just are about to get these Nerf Happy Meal toys, which Jolt covered on the show. We've gotten Nerf Happy Meal toys twice before, 2019 and 2015. In 2015, we even had like blaster and rebel themed toys. Now it's 2023. We have the little disc launchers and the little sports balls. Now imagine it's 2030. And that appears to be about the gap between years that Nerf does Happy Meal toys. What line in Nerf's au revoir currently would you like to see them bringing back as Happy Meal toys in 2030? So you're going to get little teeny tiny versions of them, right? Little funky little things themed after a current Nerf line. I have one though. I'll just go, and then maybe that'll kickstart this. Dino Squad.
Oh, that would be perfect.
I would love to see little dinosaur disc launchers, and a little teeny tiny version of one of the blasters that like pops the ball into the hoop. That'd be really fun. How many dinosaurs will they have in that line by then, you know? They still are adding them, amazingly.
True. I'm actually glad. I do like them, personally. I want the...
I'm so glad that line has survived.
I still want the... What is it? The Pterodact? I want that one to go down in price. I'm waiting for to either find one at a thrift store or for it to like go on a clearance price.
Yeah, that one looks pretty
really
cool.
I actually really want it. I still have to finish my integration, too, of the Rex Rampage that I've got.
I was going to say, I've always been a little bit surprised that the McDonald's toys don't just like shoot a dart. Like, darts aren't that expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, it's normally, probably because the age of the children who are getting Happy Meals.
That's true. They can't control the age range that's received.
Yeah, but they're always those plastic, like they're spring loaded and they're like a plastic spoon launcher, right?
That's true. They shoot like 5 feet. We used to have those.
Yeah, I mean they're not the best, but it's still kind of a. It's always
well,
been
yeah.
Weird.
So just let something shoot a dart 5 feet. Fine.
Yeah.
It's a Happy
Meal
toy.
Like, here's the thing. The dart is soft and squishy, so it'll get all damaged in the standard McDonald's packaging.
True.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
do a rival round, then. Give me the weakest rival round slingshot.
It's like
you have
a ball popper of a yeah. rival round. I think for me, if they were going to do a line, I want something that's like the old Max Force line. I want one of those old like the bug, because they always did like the crazy bugs or like weird fish stuff. Yeah. I want something like that.
See, we just want the critters.
I want because that's what I grew up with. I remember the pins that were like race cars, like, and the front end of it would come off and it was a pin or something goofy like that, or, you know, and that's as a kid when I wanted a Happy Meal, that's what I was getting. I was so excited because I would have this race car pin when I was in school, and I'm like, you know, and I'm playing with it in class.
Totally.
And then
totally.
I pop it off and it, you know, it's the same thing, right? You want something that's like a car or it kind of serves like two purposes, right? It's not just a blaster. It's also like this, you know, crazy monster or something like that. What is it? The Oozinator or something from the Super Soaker line.
Totally.
Speaking of that, that is my answer. Is I want Super Soakers. I don't want Nerf in my Happy Meal. I want Super Soakers.
The little tiny.
I've done that a couple
Soakers.
Of times, and they were always great.
The little keychain ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of them. They're adorable, and they work pretty okay.
Yeah. Like, give us those would be good.
That's so true.
But of course, my screw you, I hate the rules answer is, come on, we need the return of the Bionicle McTorin. The first, for those who don't know, the first Bionicle sets were actually Happy Meal toys. Funnily enough, they shot the same discs as the later disc launchers that resemble very closely these new disc launchers in the Happy Meal toys.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I have a couple of them. They're adorable.
That's fun. I miss the days where Happy Meal toys were like a small Lego set.
Yes. Yeah, right? Come on, give us like, Lego and Hot Wheels. You know, the good so stuff. Good.
We are getting, tying it back to the beginning of the podcast for me, we are getting Pokemon cards again soon.
As a Happy Meal toy?
They have them in the UK already. We don't have a set date, but I honestly think they might just be the next release after the Nerf stuff.
I don't even like Pokemon, and that's kind of cool.
The way that they do it is you get a pack that comes with like three card, or it's like four cards, one holo and a two or three non-holos, and you know, they're all currently in production cards, but they have a different holo pattern that's like really pretty and sparkly, and they have a different set icon on them for the McDonald's set. And this year there's actually like one or two of the cards are like kind of playable potentially, and it's always kind of fun to have like the weird McDonald's version of the card in your deck if it's actually a decent card. But they also have a game where the pack comes with a little, this year they've simplified it even further, but it's actually a good setup where it's a little, it's like a cardboard sort of coin, and you flip the coin and both the side that it lands on and the direction it's pointing, the direction it's rotated, indicate which version of the game you play, and then you compare the stats on the card.
Huh.
And whoever's stat is higher wins. So it's really cute, and it's actually like people get started in the game this way because it makes them like actually look at the numbers on the card and like look at the attacks on the card and stuff like that.
All right,
and
if
it
you
also
can combine
uses the
that,
like height of the Pokemon and stuff. So
if you can combine that Pokemon TCG and that type of game with Pogs, I'd be in.
I mean.
I still have my Pog collection. Get out of here.
Oh my god, no way. You know, it's funny, in the Pokemon TCG, there's a lot of coin flips.
Oh.
But the vast majority of people do not flip coins. We roll dice. Evens are heads and odds are tails. This is actually in the rules. And part of the reason for it, flipping a coin successfully and making it land where it's supposed to and having it rotate enough times in the air and starting it at the right height to be truly random, it's not easy.
Yeah, I can
and
actually...
Like, especially for a kid's game.
Yeah.
Kids are always bringing their favorite coin, and they, like, hold their hand right at table level, and they try to flip it, and it just, like, falls off their hand. And you're like, that didn't flip.
Yeah.
That, like, it's... The direction that the coin landed is whichever side was facing up when you moved your thumb.
Yep.
So...
Okay, I feel like we've gone off on a bit of a tangent here, so how about my tangent
fine.
Now where we talk about Bionicle lore, and,
Oh, great. Now we're going to the Bionicle tangent.
Oh, no. The Bonicles.
The Bonkles. Okay, well, I think I'm actually going to just, we had a little Bionicle tangent, we had a little Pokemon tangent, and I think we should just cap this episode off. I know that we're all quite
but
tired.
But what about the eating hot glue tangent?
The eating hot glue tangent is universal. It is the universal language. Thanks to all for chatting. I think we actually, despite our exhaustion, I think we had some good chats. I think that this Blaster Tag trademark issue is going to be a significant thing, and I hope that there's some movement on it. I'd love to be able to come back. I should say, actually, this is no one's going to listen to this point in the podcast at this point, but... the period started on the 15th. It's a month. It's 30 days long. So you have theoretically until the 14th of September to put in a notice of opposition. I don't know who's doing that, but if you wanna, you have 1, 2, 3 weeks from today, the recording day. So less by the time you hear this. So if you've got an idea out there and a good way to oppose this, or at least like get some information about what is actually going on with it, I'd love to see it. Say something. Post it. Join the Discord. Say what's up. Post publicly somewhere. Talk on Reddit. Whatever. I hope someone has a plan. But,
yeah.
Hopefully something will happen with that. Anyway, that's enough for me. I gotta go to bed. I have to edit this tomorrow. Good night, friends.
Good night.
Good night, eating hot glue.
Every time.
Every time.
Okay.
True.